Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing and download your favorite scary story on my Apple Podcast or Spotify, Tales from the Dark Forest. A shout out to my channel members and my patrons. You guys rock. Now, let's get spooky. This all happened about 5 years ago. Still, the memories of it linger and the nightmares persist. The details of everything are so clear in my mind. The sights, the smells, the feeling of my pounding heart as I ran for my life terrified. I never spoke about this to anyone until now. Here goes. The Pacific Ocean was in my backyard, and the sound of crashing waves could be heard receding behind me as I trudged along the uphill path through the trees. The air smelt like saltwater, kelp, and pine needles. "You're not going to believe this place," Gilbert said, walking a few paces ahead of me up the trail. He was wearing a well-worn fisherman's overalls and thick rubber boots, which went up to his thighs. "I don't want to oversell it, but I promise you, you won't see anything like this again in your life." I didn't realize at the time what he meant by that, but I'd find out soon enough. When we came into the clearing, I saw a beautiful freshwater bay. The lake was clear and aqua blue, peaceful and utterly silent, aside from our echoing voices and the occasional call of birds in the distance. A bald eagle was perched on a nearby tree, watching us from above. Mountains stood on the horizon, their peaks haloed with mist, making the place look picture-perfect and stunning. My trip to British Columbia had revealed many of the most beautiful views I had ever seen, and this one topped them all. "It's beautiful," I said to Gilbert, awestruck. I couldn't believe how clear the water is, and how blue. "It really is amazing. Did you see all those cottages over there?" he asked in his thick French-Canadian accent. I looked around and saw several of the waterside houses, although I wouldn't call these monstrosity cottages. They were more like mansions, most well hidden amongst the trees despite their size, with impressive decks and landscaping. Large boats sat in the water, bobbing up and down in the waves. "Wow, the people on this lake must be rich. I thought we were all alone out here in the middle of nowhere." Gilbert was a former chef who lived in a boathouse in the ocean harbor, which was only accessible by boat and prop plane. It took us 3 hours to get there on his boat the day prior, but it had been worth it. He had an incredible setup that allowed him to live almost entirely self-sustainably, with prawn traps set everywhere, oysters galore, and some of the best fishing I had ever seen. It was a seafood lover's paradise. He even went scuba diving for scallops. But this lake was the hidden jewel of his location, he said. "These are summer houses for a lot of wealthy politicians and celebrities, actually. Believe it or not, they're empty 90% of the time. But every once in a while, somebody drops by with a prop plane or helicopter and spends a week on the lake. It's the off-season, though, so nobody's out here right now. I'm taking care of the properties on the lake, and anybody that's coming in calls ahead of time so I could get it ready for them. Stocking the places with firewood, making sure the gas is on, you know, whatever needs to be done. I let out a soft whistle. That meant he had access to every one of these huge mansions and basically had free rein on all the amenities for the majority of the year. Wow, this place is something else. The lake was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen, and I could understand why rich people would want to flock to it from afar. Mist was rising off the surface of the water, and despite the gray, overcast day, I was excited by the location, which was so unlike any I'd ever seen. It looked like it was a picture from a calendar or a screensaver. "Just wait until you see the fishing," he told me with a smile. We got into his small, aluminum boat, and he pulled the cord on the outboard motor. It rumbled to life, and he began to steer us out into the heart of the lake. It was larger than I expected, extending several kilometers into the distance. There were also islands in the middle of the water which had a couple different summer homes built on them. I asked Gilbert who the houses belonged to. The motor was roaring so loud that he didn't hear me, or pretended like he didn't. He slowed down at a strange place in the water. I realized as we were getting closer that there was something off about it. The water was bubbling and moving as if disturbed from underneath. A stretch of about 50 square yards was all affected in the same way. "See that?" Gilbert asked, pointing at the section of the water with the strange disturbance. "Yeah, what is it? It looks like the water is boiling." "This is what we came out here for," he said, pulling out his fishing rod. "This is what I call a trout feeding frenzy." He handed me a line, and I was about to cast it out, but then noticed that there was no bait on it. "Could I get a worm or something?" I asked. He just shook his head, smiling, and motioned for me to put the line out into the water. There was an immediate hit, and I began to fight with the fish that had been hooked. "Wow, you don't even need bait!" I reeled in one after another until we had more than enough for dinner. He told me it was like that all the time on the lake. The best freshwater fishing location he had ever seen in his life. And it was full of rainbow trout as well, which made it all the better. The rich people who come here used to pay to have the lake stocked with rainbow trout. But nobody really fishes it but me. So they got a bit out of control. There's a multitude of them now. You'd think that fishing without any challenge would get boring fast, but it doesn't. Still, there's only so many that you could catch before you get tired, and start to feel like there's no possible way you could ever eat so many. Gilbert reassured me, saying he canned whatever access he caught. We were about to turn back, when I looked over at a nearby island. To my surprise, I saw something looking back at me. I gasped in surprise at the strange sight. There was a massive owl head poking out of the trees, staring at me, unmoving. I actually screamed when I saw it, and Gilbert followed my gaze and turned to look as well. "What the hell? What is that thing? Is it real?" It was terrifying, whatever it was. The face was staring at us with a lifelike expression. "It's not moving. Is it a statue? How have you not noticed this before?" I asked. "Aren't you out here all the time?" He shook his head. "I don't remember ever seeing that before. Whatever it is, it's big. It's got to be at least 50 feet tall." Gilbert started the engine. "Let's go take a look. Maybe it's an old indigenous statue or something like that." I hesitated, feeling slightly irked for some reason. "Okay, but just... let's turn around if anything feels off, okay?" Unsure of what exactly I was scared of, we began heading towards the island. The small outboard motor kicking up a cool mist which splashed my face and wet my hands. My heart started pounding faster in my chest and in my throat, as we neared the strange pair of eyes overlooking the top of the tree line. Eventually, it disappeared into the leaves again, and I was left with the eerie afterimage of it in my mind. Those eyes staring menacingly outward. That face, too large to be real. As we came in close to the shoreline, I realized how completely alone I was. Gilbert seemed nice enough, but I barely knew him. I had met him through my cousin who was visiting, and who I had flown across the country to see. She had arranged for me to stay with him at his float house on a whim, since she was called into work last minute and he was in town on a supply run. She told me it would be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Of course, now I was wondering how the hell she actually knew Gilbert. As it would turn out, not very well at all. Something about this didn't feel right, I was slowly realizing. Something about Gilbert's overall vibe was making me uneasy, as he helped me off the boat just a little too eagerly. There used to be tribes of indigenous people who lived out in this land, and fished in this region. I bet it's the old totem pole or something like that. This could be a huge discovery, good eye noticing it. The noise of the engine was gone now, and we were left in complete silence again, as he tried leading me away from the boat towards what appeared to be a path into the forest. "Hey, maybe we can go back. I'm not feeling well," I lied. "My stomach is upset." "Don't be silly, come on. It will only take a minute. It looked like it was just up on the hill here." I tried to shake off the feeling of paranoia and half succeeded, then began to follow after him. I looked back over my shoulder at the boat and thought I could always run back to it and use it to escape if I needed to. "This path looks pretty well worn," I said, catching up to him. "Maybe the folks who live in these summer houses know something about this statue."
"Yeah, it could be. I'll have to call up a couple of the people and see if we're the only ones who had found this place. It was pretty visible from the water, but maybe just from that one angle."
"That one spot that you chose to fish," I thought, but didn't say. We came over a ridge, and sure enough, there it was again. Only this time, we could see the whole thing. Up ahead of us in a clearing was a massive, towering statue of an owl. It had to at least been 50 feet tall, maybe more. It was difficult to judge. But this was no totem pole. It was as wide as a house at its base, standing imposing and impossibly way out here in the middle of nowhere. At the base of this huge, terrifying owl statue, which would appear to be the pulpit, pews, and an altar off to the side of the lectern. That was when I noticed there were people watching us from a nearby statue. Their clothing blended in with the bark of the trees.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I saw several figures in brown hooded robes, their faces shrouded in darkness. Moving slowly and deliberately, they produced long, sickle-shaped knives from their deep pockets and began to march towards me. I looked horrified towards Gilbert's face. He was wearing a knowing look, saying that I was right not to trust him. He didn't appear surprised to see any of this, and he didn't even bother to try to stop me when I ran screaming. Instead, his head just turned on a slow swivel, watching me go. I turned and bolted back towards the motorboat. My shoes crunched the dry leaves and pine needles beneath my feet. I nearly slipped in a mud puddle as I sprinted as fast as I could. Too terrified to look back and see if Gilbert was chasing me, I assumed he was. By the time I got back to the boat and ventured to look back, I realized that he wasn't close behind me. However, that didn't mean he wasn't still following me and hiding in the trees. I tried to start the engine and realized why he hadn't bothered to put much effort into stopping me. The outboard's motor pull cord was missing. Without it, there was no way to start the engine. Gilbert, the sly bastard, had customized the motor with a clip-on starter cord that he could easily remove without even being noticed. There was no oars in the boat, either, which meant I was stuck. Unless, of course, I could swim across the lake, which I didn't think I was capable of. I'm not a strong swimmer by any stretch, and it was at least a kilometer to the other side, if not more. The sun was just beginning to set, I noticed, and looking around the lake to see if there was any other way to escape. That was when I saw the figures standing on the shoreline across the water. In front of each of the summer houses, there was a dark silhouette looking out at me across the lake. Dozens of them were staring at me in the waning light of the evening. The sounds of motorboats being started up at the same time echoed across the still surface of the lake, and each of them moved in unison towards their vessels. I knew, without a second thought, whoever these people were, they were coming for me. That altar beneath the giant owl statue, that was meant for me. That was going to be their sacrifice.
"You picked the wrong week to come visit, sorry,"
Gilbert said behind me in his thick accent.
"Once a year they all come here for their meeting. I get a bonus if I can find someone to bring to their ceremony. Your cousin didn't know, to her credit. I'll have to tell her there was a boating accident, something like that."
The chubby red-haired man in overalls laughed, his gut bouncing up and down. He didn't look the least bit worried. A moment later, they arrived. I saw at least a dozen at first, maybe more. They pulled their boats into the shallows around the island and got out in hip waters similar to what Gilbert was wearing. I couldn't believe the faces of the ultra-famous people who came towards me from the water's edge. Celebrities, politicians, musicians, and pundits. People you wouldn't believe if I told you. All of them in brown hooded robes. I turned and ran, dodging Gilbert's grasp as he reached out to stop me.
"You won't get away!"
he called after me, crackling.
"They're all over the island by now. There's nowhere to run!"
Ignoring him, I raced down the path through the woods. Stumbling, I landed in a puddle of mud with leaves floating in it and pulled myself up quickly, continuing back towards the other side of the island, towards more certain death. I didn't know what I had hoped to achieve. Gilbert was right. I was doomed. Looking back, I saw the group was not far behind. Running up the steep hill, I hoped maybe I could lose them once I reached the top, by veering off into the trees for cover. That would be my only hope. Darkness was setting in on the island, and it was becoming more difficult to see my way as I tripped over roots and ruts in the ground. Finally, I reached the top of the hill and immediately ducked into the trees to the right, hoping to lose them in the twilight darkness of the trees. The sounds of voices coming after me made me run faster than I should have, and I suddenly found myself tumbling over the edge I had noticed was up ahead. I landed hard, hitting my head on a rock. Instantly, everything went black. I woke up tied to a slab of rock, cold beneath my back. My wrist and ankles were bounded tightly, and I couldn't move as someone spoke loudly nearby, sounding as if we were mid-sermon, speaking some dark prayer in a demented church service. Craning my aching head upwards, I looked around to see I was now directly beneath the giant owl statue, tied to the altar which I was laid on top of. A man in a brown robe was on the dais, speaking loudly to the assembled crowd watching from the woods. Each audience member held a torch which flickered and cast them in a warm glow. Through the trees I saw the moon hovering just above the horizon, bloated and crimson. The priest who had been speaking to the crowd finished his dark sermon, and the congregation began to cluck their tongues in response. It was the most unsettling thing I had ever heard. There were hundreds of them all watching me, clucking their tongues inhumanly as they held candles and observed the priest. Sweat was pouring from my brow and into my eyes as I darted my gaze around the forest, looking for any possible way to escape. I pulled on my bonds holding me to test them, but they were fastened tightly in place.
Disciples of Moloch, we have gathered under the blood moon to give a sacrifice to him. May our offerings please him and give us favor in his eyes.
The crowd responded, chanting something in reply which was indiscernible since their muttering voices all mingled together. I realized they were ramping up to killing me, and if I was going to escape, it would have to be soon. All eyes were still focused on the priest on the dais, and this would be my only chance to get away. I felt something tugging at the ropes on my wrist, and I heard a sound coming from behind me. I realized it was a sound of a saw cutting through the binds.
"Stay still. Act like I'm not here,"
a voice said from behind me.
"If they catch me, they'll kill both of us."
Despite the man's words, I couldn't help but looking back and seeing his face. He was wearing a brown robe like the others.
"Are you one of them?" I asked. "Why are you helping me?"
"I'm not really one of them," he said, finishing with the rope on my right hand and moving on to the other.
"I'm a reporter. I've been working here for years to infiltrate this place, and I finally did it. I was filming this whole ceremony, but I had to stop to save you. I just couldn't let them kill you."
"Thank you," I said, overwhelmed with relief. "Really, I mean it. I'll pay you. I'll pay you back for this somehow once we get out of here."
"If we get out of here," he said, finishing cutting the bond holding my wrist. "Okay, here's the tricky part," the voice said from the shadows behind the altar. "As soon as we start cutting those ropes on your legs, they're gonna see us doing it."
I realized he was right. From the dark place behind me, he had cut the ropes holding my wrists. But my feet were facing the crowd. Everyone would see him if he ventured to the front of the altar to cut those ropes.
"So, what do we do?"
An explosion suddenly boomed in the distance, and the orange glow of a fireball bursting into the air caught everyone's attention.
"We'll need a distraction," he said, moving down to my legs, sticking close to the altar to avoid detection. "Like that one, trying to get the rope free from your other leg, quick."
I sat up and started working on the ropes, finding them tied tight in knots like I had never seen. Luckily, the whole audience and the priest at the front were all suddenly distracted by the giant cloud of smoke that had been rising in the distance. The last thing people like these wanted was to be seen, and even as far from civilization as we were, an explosion like that could attract attention. The priest was shouting at his minions to find out who was responsible for the blast. But suddenly, someone noticed us. A voice began to shout from the audience.
"Someone is trying to free the sacrifice! Hey, traitor!"
Murmuring and cries of outrage rang through the trees. And suddenly, the huge crowd of people were racing down towards us through the woods like an evil mob, torches in hand. The priest turned from his place on the stage and pulled out a long knife from the sheath around his waist. He walked in our direction just as the ropes gave way and I rolled off the side of the altar.
"Run!"
shouted the man who had cut me loose. He bolted off through the trees and I followed after him. We ran through the trees towards the shoreline where the boat was waiting, already running. Another figure could be seen moving along the shore towards the boat and I realized they looked familiar. As we got closer, I saw it was my cousin. It was her who had set off the explosion.
"Grace, what the hell are you doing here?"
"There's no time. Get on the boat."
We all jumped in, and she steered the boat off towards the other end of the lake. I was surprised to see nobody following after us, and we managed to get to the ocean before anyone found us. It turned out Grace had sabotaged the expensive boats would have easily outran us, as well as having blown up one of the larger vessels with a homemade bomb. "What the hell was that?" I asked my cousin after we were safely away from the ceremony. "How could you leave me there with that maniac?" It turned out Gilbert and the cult who tried to kill me weren't the only monsters that day. My own cousin set me up just for a story. She knew what was happening on the lake, and used me as bait to see if they would really go through with killing a human sacrifice. If it hadn't been for her partner, I would have died. But she couldn't go through with it. I live in fear now, wondering when exactly the powerful people who tried to kill me will come to find me. I'm sure it won't take long once this is out. After all, I saw their faces. I know what all of them are capable of. They like to live in the shadows. They don't want you to know what they do when you're not watching. But I've seen everything.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.